if that side door could be closed, please. Thank you. Okay, I'll open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. And we're thankful we can go to your word and hear from you. And so we pray that that would be the case this morning. We'd hear from you, from your word, and that your Holy Spirit would help us understand and take to heart and apply where application needs, or you where you desire that to happen in our lives. And we do want to follow the example of Jesus, as he was obedient to the point of death. We desire to be obedient and follow our Lord as best we can, and we pray for your help, and we trust as we go to your word that we will learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're going to pause our study through the book of Philippians. That's what we're working through. And so a pause this morning, and we'll look at some different scriptures this morning. And with what many of us are going through this week, and have gone through and will go through, really what is, I believe the Lord impressed on me was, let's look at faith. And we'll review, I know it says Philippians, but that's fine. We are to have faith in the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we studied through the book of Hebrews recently and over, we heard this from the Lord. And at times, our faith can get rocked or shook. The storms come, right? How's our foundation? What is our foundation? How sure is it? So we'll go through a few different scriptures. I hope it's an encouragement. It is God's word. And that's what I love about taking God's word and seeing what he has to say to us. And receiving from him. So think about faith and the storms of life. And what do we do when we don't understand or we're struggling? Here's the first thing. What's our life built on? So understanding the gospel is critical. And we've been memorizing, we've got the verses on the back table, scriptures which are, they speak to the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the good news of salvation. And I'm going to read some of the ones that we've been memorizing. I'll start with Romans 1:16. And it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And to know that we know, that we know, that the good news of Jesus, the gospel, it's the power of God to salvation or for salvation. There is no other salvation. He paid our debt. And to understand the basics of the gospel, which is all have sinned, right? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin has a penalty. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus paid the penalty that we owe, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. One of my favorites, salvation is not by works, right? So Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And there it is, faith, trusting God. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast or claim that somehow we have earned God's favor. No one will stand before God one day and be able to claim that. And then with all that, we must receive Christ or put our faith in him. So Romans 10:9-10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And here's an important one. And it's one that we, even for those who are safe, who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus, at times there's this, can be this, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. I'm not quite sure. And the Lord wants us to be sure that we are his. And John 5:24, for assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Most assuredly I say to you. So, be assured that if you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus, he's got you. He's got us. We are saved. We are his children. And that's an important one. Certainly the enemy, when doubts come in, loves to, you know, take those doubts and encourage us to run with them. Now the doubts will come, but then it's, okay, what do we do with the doubts or the questions and so on. The thing to do is take them to the Lord. He knows we have them. It's not like that's hidden from him. So take them to him and go to his word. Be reassured. He's not going to condemn. Understand, please, that when we're feeling condemnation, that's not the Lord. That's the enemy, or we can even have you know, kind of bring that on ourselves, but it's not the Lord. The Lord will convict. He will convict us. But that conviction has a purpose, and that purpose is to move us towards Him, towards a repentance. It's not condemnation, as in, God doesn't want to hear from you, you're not worthy, run away from Him. So, the gospel, it's important to understand what it actually is, what it is to be the Lord's, you know, and why. It's not our works, it's Jesus paying our debt. It's our faith in Him. It's our, you know, and that desire that comes out of that to follow Him and obey Him and honor Him. But it's not the actions don't bring us, don't earn us salvation. So my prayer for all of us is more and more we will be strong in that and build our lives on that. And we say, you know, have Jesus the foundation or God's word the foundation, and those things are correct. But in that, it's like my own salvation. How did this come about? And what is it? Well, it's Jesus. And it's what He has done, not what we have done. So understanding the gospel more and more, because I think we talk sometimes about, well, we need to learn to share the gospel, and we do, but we do need to keep growing in what actually is that on a personal level. And then out of that, it will overflow, if you will. So the gospel is a big piece of having a sure foundation. Some other scriptures. I do have one from Philippians, from the chapter we were going to go through, or will go through next. So Philippians 3. In verse 20, and I know, it's fair to say, pretty much all of us have gone through things, certainly if we've lived for a while, where we might go, whether it's personal or someone else, go, why has this happened? You know, what are we going to do? And different questions and reactions. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. And what I note from this scripture, and why I bring it up, is the bigger picture, and sometimes we lose it, is that we are citizens of heaven, and our citizenship is not here on earth. It's not Canada. It's not even the earth, for that matter. Our citizenship is in heaven. As people of faith, we're God's children. We're adopted into His family. And what I hear from this, too, is our lives are not all about what's wrapped up in this life. There is a much bigger picture, and it is everlasting. It's eternal, and God's plan for us is on that scope and scale. And all kinds of things go on in this life. But to know and understand that our citizenship is in heaven is important. And that's part of being people of faith, is to grow an understanding of that and what that looks like. Galatians 2, and I'm going to run through different scriptures, and not really, the intent is not to break them down into every detail, but share them with you. Okay, so Galatians 2. And 20 and 21, and this is very much a verse that speaks to living as a disciple, a follower of Jesus. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. It's a couple things there. Faith and grace. The life which I now live in the flesh, this life we live in these bodies, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, who loves us, and gave himself for us. And I do not set aside the grace of God. To hold on to faith, hold on to grace. Sometimes, and I'll speak for myself, we look and go, God, this doesn't seem like grace. Or God has plans and purposes that are bigger than what we can see. And how do we know this, and how do we know that he loves us? I was thinking about this. The passage we read from Philippians 2 earlier, the Lord Jesus left the throne room of heaven and humbled himself, and he died on a cross for us, and he did not have a debt that he owed. The debt that he paid was for us alone, like for humanity. So how do we know that he loves us? Because he did that. You think about what's the greatest display of love? That God would send his Son to die in our place, and so God does love us. And he instructs us to put our faith in him. And so we have, right? We do. If you have not, all I can say is do so. Do so while you can. God will not make you So from Galatians, we see we are to live this life with faith or trust in our Lord. That is how we are to live it. Regardless of what the circumstances are. And that's the that's what the Lord tells us. And whatever we're walking through, whether it's a hard thing or, you know, something that we're just super happy about, the best way to walk through anything is with the Lord rather than without him, with faith rather than without faith. It doesn't matter what is going on. The Lord knows what he's talking about when he tells us to put our trust in him. So, about faith then. Back to Hebrews. So, as I mentioned earlier, 11:6, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. To have faith and believe. Is it hard at times? Yes. What should you do about that? Take it to the Lord. Be with others of faith who can help hold you up. Let's read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Which comes after 11, which lists a lot of people of faith. So, and then the next verses in chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses or examples, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Notice the endurance, the race that is set before us. And here's the thing, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is a scripture that came most to mind for today. It's verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What does faith look like when we are facing the hardships, the hard times, the questions? It looks like looking to Jesus. I believe this puts it in the very basic, simple to understand in that sense, like look to him. There's lots of questions that we won't get answered in a satisfactory manner in this life. What do we do? Look to him. And that both includes his words. There are very direct answers to a lot of things in the Bible. But there's also look at the example that he has set. And trust what he says. So, what I read from chapter 12, of course, comes after chapter 11. I'm not going to read it. We've studied this not too long ago, and it's got example after example of men and women of faith. What they have in common is they trusted God, they believed God. Not simply believing there is a God, but they believed God. Like what he instructed them to do, they did. They trusted him with their lives. None of them were perfect. They endured through whatever the Lord had them in. And one thing we know by the fact that they're listed here in God's word is they were victorious. Although from a human perspective, the world's perspective, many of them would not have been looked upon as being victorious or honored or a whole list of other things that the world holds dear. But God has looked upon them and said, these are men and women of faith. They did well. They trusted me. And so they're put here as a reminder, an encouragement, an example for us, as Paul says in chapter 12, this great cloud of witnesses. And I believe that's not so much, oh, they're in heaven, you know, witnessing what we're doing, as it is examples. And we are witness to how they lived and how they trusted God. And so it's then, you also endure in faith and look unto Jesus. So all these people, they finished well, they had faith. Absolutely, some of them would have wanted to quit at points, give up on trusting God. They certainly would have had that temptation. They endured. The book of Hebrews itself is very clear, and it gives... there's such a strong message of do not give up on Jesus. Do not abandon your faith. That is one of the themes. And a lot of time is spent in the book of Hebrews, and we've studied this, that Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. Jesus is supreme. And just very thoroughly, the author of the book of Hebrews goes through and explains it in detail. And there's the encouragement, have faith. There's also a couple of very strong warnings, which I'll paraphrase into, don't even think about walking away from him. Don't even think about it. It's put stronger than that. Don't give up on what you have. It's the best thing. It's the best gift that you've been given, the gift of faith in the Lord Jesus, whatever else is going on. And the whatever else at times is desperately difficult. So, very clear. Do not give up on trusting Jesus. So look unto him. Look unto him. Look to him. Go to him. He is worthy of our trust. He has experienced suffering. His suffering was greater than ours. He gave his life for us. In John 14, we know also that he has gone to prepare a place for us. It's back to that idea where our citizenship is in heaven. And the fact of the matter is the Lord has already prepared a place for us. We have that hope. Hebrews 4. In 14 to 16. Again, thinking of looking unto Jesus. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith, right? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses or what we go through. So he can sympathize, he can and does sympathize with what we go through. But was in all points tempted or tested as we are, yet without sin. There's the difference. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So what does it look like to look unto Jesus? Well, one way is to come boldly to the throne of grace and cry out to him, talk to him. Another way is go to the word and hear from him. But many times, I believe it's simply just go and talk to him. He does understand. He does care. And when the Bible tells us that he has suffered, was in all points tempted as we are. So tempted, that is tempt and test. It means he was. And so many times, we might go, well, no one can understand what I'm going through. Or we might go, well, I can't fully understand what this other person is going through. The one you can be confident does understand and understands better than we do is Jesus. God understands better than we do. So go to his throne of grace and spend time there. His promise to help in our time of need. I suspect one of the most underused offers that's on the table, really, when we consider the throne of grace. Sometimes there's letters and petitions and so on to the government, right? Trying to be heard. Very minor as far as the power level at that level. The throne of grace is wide open to us at any time. It's awesome. It's amazing. So looking unto Jesus means actually boldly approaching and coming right to the throne of grace and being in his presence, speaking to him. So the flesh, the world, the enemy will say, God doesn't care, walk away from him. Jesus says, I have also suffered. Come to the throne of grace. Come to the throne of grace. So faith. Really, all of this is about how do we... sometimes it's, and I think all the time, it's growing in faith. Perhaps at times it feels like, how do I just keep my faith? And although I trust we grow to where we know that our faith will never be shaken, because it's the one thing that we have that is constant. Because our faith is in the one who is unchanging and cannot be shaken and is faithful. One last scripture that I will leave with you. So Matthew 11. Again, this is the talking about faith and the object of our faith and the looking unto Jesus. So throne of grace. And then Matthew 11 is, it's the same kind of idea described differently. Verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we're talking about the kind of rest that is at the soul level, the spirit level. 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I was thinking about this and thinking about just how heavy some burdens are. But when yoked up with Jesus, his yoke is easy and the burden becomes light or much lighter. Our other option is to try and pack all this stuff ourselves. And it's very heavy. So look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, so that the throne of grace is open. So I point you to the invitations. The encouragement, look to Jesus, and then there's the invitations, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. So the invitation is there. The temptation at times is to, for whatever reason, say no. But the encouragement is, as Jesus suffered and obeyed and endured and was victorious, this is the call on our lives as well, as we put our faith in him and trust him. Jesus himself, and we sang this morning, and we went to the table, Jesus himself in the garden, what did he say? Not my will, Father, but yours be done. He knows. We can go to him and talk to him about it. And he will lighten the burden. So we'll finish there. So I leave you with these scriptures. I hope and I pray that amongst these, the Holy Spirit ministers to each of us from his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for Jesus, the gospel, our freedom from the debt we owe, We thank you for the invitation to approach you, to bring everything to you. Help us to grow in faith. We may lack confidence in a lot of areas, but Lord, I pray we would grow in confidence in you. You are worthy. Help us to trust you with every aspect of our lives. Help us to encourage others to do so. And Lord, I pray that you would fill each of us with your Spirit to overflowing. We pray for all those who are grieving over this latest, the tragedy that's happened. And Lord, that you would be the comforter. And we pray your hand be over each one of them. And help them, Lord, to look to you. Help them to look to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.